This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. This is also Hotel Mars, Episode N, with David Livingston, my colleague and co-host, because we are exploring the ambitions that we're told the Chinese space program, joined with the Russian space program, now entertain for moon colonies. Moon colonies. I read most recently from space.com. Roscosmos is looking at ways to send its cosmonauts to the Chinese space station, launching from sites in either Russia or French Guiana. During a press conference at the recently concluded Global Space Exploration Conference in St. Petersburg, Dmitry Rogozin, Director General of Roscosmos, revealed that Russia is in discussions with China about crewed flights to the Chinese space station. We welcome Chaim Ben Arroyo, our guide on these matters of traveling into space to stay, colonizing, living on the moon, living on Mars. Chaim is a Rutgers University mechanical and aerospace engineering professional, a professor. However, he most importantly is the author of several books speaking to the ambitions of the Chinese space program. And now that we see the Russians are working closely with them, the Roscosmos space station as well. Settlements on the Moon. I note Chaim's original book to my introduction, Turning Dust to Gold, Building a Future on the Moon and Mars. The follow-up was Building Habitats on the Moon. The conjoining book was Lunar Settlements. All of this tells me that Chaim is the person to go to say, is this credible in the next few years, Chaim? Good evening to you. Roscosmos meeting the People's Republic of China. Are they ready to build a colony on the moon? Good evening, Professor.
Good evening, John. Thank you for having me. I would say the Russians and the Chinese definitely have the technical ability to do what they're proposing to do. The Chinese just put up the first module of their space station, and the Chinese and the Russians have entered into agreements to settle the moon, beginning, it seems, from around 2026 for the following 10 years. So the Chinese are very serious. They've been very methodical, and they've developed a lot of technologies that parallel what we've done in space.
Behind just a detail here, the Chinese are the money bags. The Russians have the most successful and long-lived manned space program. Is there something that the Russians can teach the Chinese? The Chinese now have three Taikonauts in orbit. Is that just baby steps for them, and Russia needs to come in with experience?
Certainly, the Russians have as much experience as the U.S. does. So there are a lot of things, for example, maneuvering in space, survival. The Russians have a lot of the data on biological survival of their astronauts in space. So there's a lot of data and experience that the Russians are needed by the Chinese. The transfer of that knowledge is critical for the Chinese as well, since they're relatively recent in space.
David?
Chaim, what can you tell so far about Russia being able to launch from Russia and reach the areas that China either has their station or plans to have some sort of an orbital station to get down to the surface of the moon? Can Russia launch from their own country and get to those locations?
My understanding is that they'll have to do some adjustments or develop new rockets. From where they normally launch, they can't reach the Chinese space station. I have read that the Russians and the Chinese the Russians are trying to get the Chinese to alter the orbit of their space station to allow easier access. So there are some orbital mechanics issues that they'll have to resolve.
But there's also the question of the Chinese space program. Now, Chaim, I don't want to ask you about boosters. It is a little alarming to me that the booster that lifted the three taikonauts to the space station dropped back down in pieces on China. I saw a picture of one of the chunks of the booster on a highway in China. This is a crude version of a space launching. However, let's go to that space station in orbit now with three taikonauts on board. Is this a stable step towards the moon to be able to sustain life in orbit, or can you go straight to the moon now?
My belief is that you can go straight to the moon. Having a space station is useful, like the ISS has been useful to us, but we've had it for decades, and it has not accelerated our progress to the moon. My belief is that the Chinese want to develop and test technologies that they will need for the trip to the moon in that space station, perhaps test some of their components under microgravity, perhaps learn more about how their astronauts survive in space, and perhaps give them a little bit more training in a low-gravity environment.
David?
Chaim, maybe you've noticed, I don't know, but when the taikonauts appear in pictures, they're just in regular space station type of space suits. So I don't ever see them talking about EVA suits or EVAs from that space station. I don't know if it's possible. But also, if they're going to go to the surface of the moon, those space suits aren't going to work. So how is their life support? How can they have space suits that can protect them from the dust and all of what we know the hazards on the surface of the moon contain?
Right. David, those are excellent questions. And we don't really have enough information to specifically speculate, but it looks like some of those technologies are still being developed. And in connection with what we were saying before, it seems that the space station that they're building is going to be testing some of that technology out. I assume that once we see them actually doing EVAs, then we'll be looking at their development of that technology. And actually, spacesuits are actually very complicated systems to develop. There's so many systems that have to operate flawlessly and reliably so that the astronaut inside can survive.
The Roscosmos puts out the announcement of the International Lunar Research Station, ILRS, which is prospectively 2026. It is a facility on the surface of the moon. Stairs are running up to it. It looks like you'd live inside. The moon has very light gravity, so I suspect you could sleep sideways. But in any event, my memory is that the surface of the moon is a dangerous place. The dust on the moon is poisonous to human beings, but the surface on the moon is also liable to be bombarded at any moment by meteorites. So to your understanding, what is the plan? Are they going to take the risk of the surface? Are they going to dig underneath? Are they going to, have they got protection in some way? Because that's a major component of a colony, is to protect you from events.
Absolutely right. I don't believe that they have that technology yet. As you mentioned, the regolith on the surface of the moon is extremely dangerous, not only for people. We were talking about spacesuits. Even the Apollo spacesuits were impregnated by the regolith. And anything that's robotic, because I know the Chinese were talking about doing robotic exploration and attempts to build robotically. There's no robot that we've designed on Earth that can yet survive the regolith on the moon. So, you know, they're going to be subject to the same physical laws, the same deadly environment that we will be. So they'll need to solve some of those problems. The question is whether the Chinese and the Russians are willing to put their people at a higher risk level than we are. And that's perhaps the main difference between their programs and our programs. We know that the Soviet programs were very aggressive and much less worried about harming their astronauts. They wanted to go fast. And I'm curious whether the Chinese have that philosophy as well.
David?
Do we have any kind of timeline beyond maybe 2026 for actually being on the surface of the moon and what they plan on doing there? Is this strictly scientific? Is it military? Is it both?
My belief is it's both. I don't believe that the Chinese space program is separated from their military program. So I view it as an operation to advance their military capabilities and, as you mentioned earlier, David, their economic prospects. They're going to do whatever they have to basically gain a dominance on the lunar surface. Whether they use that for military purposes initially, I think it'll take quite a while for them to have any kind of facility that would have any military capabilities. They'll be struggling to survive, just as our astronauts will need to survive, and that will be priority one.
All right. What we have here is a timeline that includes the International Lunar Research Station 2026 and the perhaps launching astronauts for colonies 2036. That's the ambition of Roscosmos and the PRC. When we come back, we're going to ask the professor to build us a space colony because he's done that. He's already built it. What we need, what it looks like, who can live there, how long they can live there, how we go back and forth. Professor Chaim Ben-Arroya of Rutgers University, most importantly, he's the author of books that can build you a space colony, if China and Roscosmos are listening, Building Habitats on the Moon, Turning Dust to Gold, and Lunar Settlements. David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show. This is Hotel Mars, Episode N. When we come back, Living on the Moon. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.